CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Now back to Fire It Up with CJ. Be a force for good. And fire it up with CJ. Log on, fireitupwithcj.com. And call CJ now.
248-545-7685.
Believe. On CBS Radio's The Sky. The Sky.
Live from CBS Sky Radio, Fired Up with CJ. Her website, FiredUpWithCJ.com. Next up on Fired Up with CJ, we have pianist, composer, educator, and recipient of the Courage of Conscience Award, Dr. Will Tuttle. And now we're going to go right back to CJ.
Thank you, Cassandra. Welcome back, everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and we are talking to Dr. Will Tuttle about his book and his spiritual journey, really. And I think part of everyone's spiritual journey is about how to remain in equanimity when we're in conflictual situations or one in which we're challenged. And when I think of being a vegan, it's a very triggered topic. Being it akin to abortion, religion, politics, and now veganism has that same kind of discursive, hurtful dialogue that I see all the time on the web and when I see vegans talk to other people. And I guess if the heart of veganism is about loving kindness, the question is, how do we actually engage in a conversation when we fundamentally differ with respect to how we see the world? And so today our guest, Dr. Will Tuttle, a former Zen monk and author of The World Peace Diet, shares his insights into living in harmony with all of life. Welcome, Will.
Thanks. Great to be with you.
So tell us how I'm sure you've gotten into arguments with people who fundamentally don't want to believe. We're in that same position that you were in when you went to the farm. You're telling us you went to the farm and they said, well, do you want to know what your animals go through? And you said, not really. I think a lot of people are still in that. There are a lot of people who aren't ready for your message. So, or are not going to change your ways regardless of, whatever you're saying. So how does one live in peace and loving kindness and still live at heart with those values, even though they're around people who are challenging the very essence of what they believe and their values?
Right. That's a great question. And, I've been at this a long time. You know, I've been a vegan, as we said earlier, for 33 years. And so I've definitely gone through different stages, and I definitely went through the angry vegan stage. And I, in a sense, I love the bumper sticker, though, that it says, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there is a place for being outraged. I think it's our natural state when we see cruelty and violence that's completely unnecessary happening. We'd like to stop it from happening. I think all of that, that's our natural wisdom and compassion coming forth. However, anger is something else, and I don't ever cultivate any anger toward anyone. I think, in fact, just the opposite. I think it's very important to feel loving kindness and compassion for everyone, not including the animals and the people who are inflicting the violence on the animals and the people who are taking out their wallets and paying for the violence, which is really the driving force behind the whole thing. It's actually the people who are buying animal foods because they don't know any better. You know, they're just following orders. And so I think the most important thing for me is in the evolution that I've gone through is the discovery that it's basically an inside job. It's an inner work that the only way I'm going to be able to be effective in positively transforming society and making a better world is to do that to myself, to purify my own actions and thoughts and behaviors and feelings, and so that I'm actually, as Gandhi said so well, I'm being the change that I would like to see in the world. And it's profoundly difficult to be a vegan, I think, in our society on one level, because, for example, the average person can go down the street and see McDonald's, Burger King, Kentucky Fried Chicken, and they can say, wow, this is great, all these good food places I can eat at, this is wonderful. And a vegan goes down the same street and it's like, oh, there's Kentucky Fried Killing and Murder King and all this, you know, horrible gore and death and destruction. And so they get to feeling, you know, really like living in a crazy place. And people say, so so you're a vegan, huh? And the person will say, yeah, I'm a vegan. I just think, you know, it's just horrible to live in this society, and people don't realize what they're doing. And the person says, wow, you don't sound like you're very happy. No, I'm not happy. I'm really upset. And the person says, well, I guess I don't want to be a vegan then. That's not like a good thing. You know, so the whole point is, if we're going to be effective, we need to be happy. and the beauty of it is that the joy that I experience is so huge, because I don't just focus on the violence, even though I have a library of, you know, literally hundreds of undercover videos showing the most egregious cruelty. I mean, I've really watched it all, what people do to animals for food. And it's, you know, it's incredibly violent. But I also see around me so much beauty. And I think when we're vegans, we can appreciate the beauty of life so much more, because we're not contributing to the violence. And I see the beauty of the flowers growing, the trees blossoming, and birds flying, and just this beautiful world, and the basic beauty in everyone's heart and everyone's behind everyone's eyes is a yearning to be kind and loving and to create a society of joy and creativity and abundance. And I address that in people, and the whole idea, and I find I virtually never anymore get into any arguments with anybody about any of this. You know, we did a lecture tour a couple of years ago through Iowa, where I spoke on the World Peace Diet to communities that are, you know, just completely opposed to these ideas, essentially, and had nothing but wonderful, positive experiences, because I just told the truth. I mean, nobody can argue with the fact that, you know, no one's eating meat out of their own free choice. They're only doing it because they're following orders. They're doing it because they were told to do it from the time they were born. We were injected with this from the time we're little kids. So we don't have to, you know, we don't have to blame anyone. There's no point in blaming anyone. It's a cultural program, an indoctrination that is just simply not in our best interest. It's not in the best interest of ourselves, animals, the earth, anyone. And everyone can see that. It's obvious. And then people can do with that what they will. You know, I can't change anyone. I can just simply point out the basic truth and live my life. And the beauty is that we can plant seeds. When we do this, we plant seeds that will then bear fruit. And the seeds are love and kindness. That's the whole point, is to be love and kindness and understanding. And as we do that and plant seeds of love, we create more love.
So what is the reaction of a rancher in Iowa when you say, well, you're not a loving, kind person because you're killing animals? I mean, that's fundamental.
I would never say that. I mean, I would never begin to say that.
Fundamentally, you can listen to your argument, and it's like, okay, I mean, if I'm following the thread of your logic, it's like, hey, you know what? I mean, that's what I'm hearing. When I hear it, is that I think, well, that just means that I'm not being loving and kind, and that I can't get over my cultural trance. That's why I'm still killing animals. Like, what do you say to an Iowa rancher to get them to change?
I simply, you know, see, the thing is, I give a lecture that's a good hour and a half, and lay out the whole big picture, which we don't have time to do here, unfortunately. That's why I really recommend people read The World Peace Diet, because it's a huge understanding that we have to get here. It's vast. I mean, this whole thing is huge. It's so big. And when people are, when we see the big picture, when we see that we've been born into a culture from the time we're little infants, we were taught by our parents what to eat, and we went along with that, and we see the ramifications of that. We know, there's no one can argue that we're devastating the planet, and that the driving force behind it is growing huge monocropped fields of corn and soybeans and chickens and other animals to feed these animals. And so it's not like anybody is bad or wrong in this. We're simply seeing the effects of a system, and there are people who are cooperating with that system and are causing a lot of suffering to themselves and to others, but I would never say anyone is bad or wrong or evil or anything like that. It's simply a system that we're indoctrinated into, and I can just say, there it is. You know, what are you going to do? You can do what you want, you know, but just be aware. be aware of this, and I don't blame anyone. I don't judge anyone at all. I mean, people are simply, they don't know what they're doing, basically. They're just living, they're not conscious. They're just robotically going through a program. And the thing is, I guess, to just point it out as a living example in a loving way and without blaming, because there is no blame. It's simply, we're simply following orders. And do we really want to follow those orders anymore? Or do we want to follow the orders from our own inner understanding, our own inner values? Because the beauty is veganism is not living life according to vegan values. Veganism is living life according to our own values. We all have the same values. We all value freedom and kindness and caring and respect. Mm. And so it's simply living our own values.
Mm. Okay, so then have you ever, you know, when you talk to these Iowa ranchers, I'm just focusing on that particular conversation because it seems so fantastic. You know, you're around a bunch of people who are most likely meat eaters their whole lives and ranchers. What are the changes that you saw after they see your whole one-hour lecture? I mean, what are the things they
do? You know, I don't stay around, so I'm not really exactly sure, but they do buy the book, and I do get occasional emails. Like I got when we were lecturing there, actually it was right after that we were in Nebraska, I think it was, and I got an email a few months later from a fellow, and he said that he came to my lecture with his wife, and, you know, he listened, and they bought a book, and he said they read the book. Actually, they read it together, and he was a professional hunter. You know, he not only, in the sense that he not only hunted, he hunted his whole life, but he got paid. He wrote articles and took photographs for hunting magazines and so forth. He said, "I just want you to know I'm a vegan now."
Wow.
And he said, "You know, it's because of you." And I said, "I'm so grateful." He said, I've always actually loved animals, and I don't know what I was doing, but now I've come to my senses." You know, and so anyone, I've had people who were farmers and ranchers go vegan because of reading the World Peace Diet. I mean, I've gotten the emails from them and so forth. So. It's hard sometimes for people.
They're still ranchers. They're still ranchers raising animals, but then they become vegans. Is that right? Or did they change your occupation? I mean, what did they do?
Well, I think it depends. I think, you know, a lot of times it's difficult for someone who's making a living at something to change. That's probably the hardest, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it does happen from time to time. It does happen, and but a lot of times it's. You know, like I got an email the other day from a woman who said, "Well, my husband was a rancher. We ate meat our whole lives. He passed away, and I read your book, and I'm selling the ranch."
Wow.
We're getting out of this business. And I mean, it's a business. I mean, it's a business that brings out the worst in people, essentially. And it's you know, we don't say, "Well, what are weapons men? People who are making nuclear weapons? What are they going to do? Or what are people?" Who make torture devices, if we put them out of business, you know, that would be terrible. I mean, it's good if they go out of business in the sense that we have to create an economy, you know, opportunities for other things. But there's definitely a demand for food. I mean, vegans are eating, you know, we're eating lots of food. We just grow different kinds of food. We can create a different food system.
Interesting. Okay, well, we are going to be talking in the next break about your life choices and your spiritual journey and how it all fits together. So we have Dr. Will Tuttle, former Zen monk and author of The World Peace Diet. Folks online, make sure to sign up for our newsfeed by providing your email on our website at www.firedupwithcj.com. We'll be right back.